TSN 1290, CFRW Winnipeg.
We will be there. Come with us.
Your official home of the Winnipeg Jets. A division of Bell Media. TSN 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. And now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Good afternoon, Winnipeg. Good afternoon, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live at tsn1290.ca, good afternoon, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Continuing coverage of the 2012 NHL Draft. You've heard all morning long from Brian Munns and H&L down in Pittsburgh. Now it's our turn to give you some analysis, insight, and the humor you have come to expect from the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in studio by my good friends Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. Producer Tim is behind the mic getting us on and off the air like the expert that he is. Ezra, Richard, good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon, Drew. We have lots to cover, obviously. We have a new goalie potentially in the mix here in Winnipeg. There's lots of draft picks to cover. H&L and Brian Munns and everyone else in Pittsburgh did a great job. So I'm looking forward to getting going here because there was a lot of moves. Wasn't the most exciting Friday night, but there's lots to cover anyways.
Well, I think the Jets are really happy with the player they got. They can't believe he fell to them.
Sorry, yeah, Richard. That, not just the Jets. That'd be every general.
Yeah, Brian Burke saying, you know, we had Morgan Riley at the top of our list. We couldn't believe he was there.
Niall Yakupov, the Oilers couldn't believe he was available for them.
Couldn't believe that he was available.
I'm pretty sure if the Leafs had the first overall pick, they wouldn't have taken Morgan Riley.
Exactly.
But they liked him. And I think, you know, watching, you know, the TSN draft and listening on this station, I think not only did we set a record for the most defensemen taken in the first 10 picks. I think we had the most best available defenseman remarks ever, because it seemed like every team, when they were drafting their defenseman, was saying that he was the best defenseman available in the draft. But, you know, the Jets got Jacob Trouba, and obviously, you know, Winnipeg Jets fans want to know about him, and we'll try to help everybody out today.
Well, let's start with Jacob Trouba. Jets take him 9th overall. Mm-hmm. You know, there was... It was an interesting first top 10 because there were a lot of players that fell. The consensus top 5 player in Philippe Forsberg.
Yes.
Some drafts had him 2nd overall. Some drafts had him 4th overall. I don't think I saw one draft that had him lower than, say, 5th overall.
Yep.
Fell all the way to 11.
Yep. Yeah.
And a lot of Jets fans may have, you know, within their rights, expected the Jets that was going to be the guy the Jets were going to jump on when their pick came around at 9th overall.
Yeah.
But it sounds, by all accounts, that Trouba was their guy all along.
Right, Richie, and Philippe Forsberg might have been there, and Mikhail Grigorenko might have been there, and Teuvo Teravainen might have been there, but the fact is, this was a wide-open draft, and those guys were by no means consensus, you know, top five guys. There were question marks, especially about Grigorenko, and, you know, even though there might not have been a major reason why Philippe Forsberg wasn't drafted, the question was really that his upside was in debate, but the Jets did like Jacob Trouba. He was here at the World Under 17 Challenge, which I believe we went to
when we
were coaching hockey. And, you know, Jacob Trouba, he's going to the University of Michigan. He's a big guy, which is an understatement if you saw the draft, and his dad, which I believe he was 6'8".
Yeah, and I think his grandfather is 7'1".
Yeah. That's right.
So he's not done growing by all accounts either.
Yeah, and so, you know, Philip Forsberg was a guy that maybe people were shocked and wanted to see, and he's, you know, don't get me wrong, he's a good player, and he's got a lot of upside. But, you know, by no means were the Jets the only team that passed up on him. Many teams passed up on him.
That's true. You have to wonder what the issue was there, because he did fall a little bit, and Anaheim came up there with a reach. That number, was it number 6 at Anaheim?
Number 6, taking Hampus Lindholm, who nobody had in their top 10.
And, you know, that generally happens every year. There is a reach.
Well, same with Derek Pouliot. Carolina came in, took him at 8th overall, and Derek Pouliot was another guy.
Pittsburgh took him.
Yeah, that was the pick that they acquired from Carolina.
That's right.
Nobody had Derek Pouliot in the top 10 either.
No, they didn't. The draft was interesting. I don't see a ton of game breakers from what we've spoken about. Again, it's very hard to analyze a draft when the majority of players we have not seen.
Right.
The large majority of players. In terms of Jacob Trouba and what we're hearing about him, about the people who have seen him play,
yep.
He is a Michigan boy. He's a tremendous skater. He's going to fill out. He sounds like a little bit like Bogosian in the way he's built and the way he hits and the way he skates. They say he can make a good first pass. He doesn't have a tremendous upside offensively. You know, Bogosian has a big shot. I still don't think he has a tremendous upside offensively. You hear the similar things about Jacob Trouba. But a hard-nosed guy, and he sounds like a character guy, that a guy that they would want, a player like that, you know, saying he hasn't got anything yet, he hasn't earned anything yet, he's just been drafted. So character, he sounds like a guy they can rely on. He sounds like a solid pick and little risk, as much as there can be in a draft. And I would say the Jets are a little bit risk-averse, and that's not necessarily a bad thing at all. But I'd say they're a little bit risk-averse. Getting to know Kevin Cheveldayoff here over the past, I guess, year and a bit now, he's not a guy who's going to be going all out and taking a Grigorenko. I didn't think that was going to be an option at all.
No.
Because that's a risky pick. So Jacob Trouba's a solid guy. They seem sold on what he can be. And, maybe he's a little bit further along than some other players, which is interesting because the Jets seem to really like putting guys in the AHL. There's nothing wrong with that either. Jacob Trouba comes up. You know, maybe in a year or two, you wonder, does he force a trade of a Bogosian or a Byfuglien, because he's a right-handed shooting defenseman, so he's going to play the right side. Or maybe what they want to do is bring him up slowly. He's going to ease him in on that bottom pair in a year or two, and they're going to put him with a veteran guy, like a Mark Stewart kind of guy, and they're going to bring him up, and he's going to be a solid player. Well, I don't think this pick involved too much risk. However, I do think that one of these players that they passed up on, a couple of these players that they passed up on, especially an offensive player, is probably going to make Jets fans a little bit regretful, I guess.
If Philippe Forsberg turns out to
be a 30-goal scorer,
if he turns out to be a guy who should have been drafted second overall, Jets fans will play the what-if game. Now, they're always going to play they play the what-if game for the rest of the career with Sean Couturier.
Yes.
I mean, that's the nature of the draft. Look,
This is different, though, because Scheifele, by all consensus, last year was a reach.
Right.
And nobody had him there. Trouba was ninth on most people's boards.
Yep.
You know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So he's right around there. So Trouba being drafted there really shouldn't have been much of a surprise. Last year, Scheifele was a surprise and a consensus pick like Couturier. Not only Couturier, but Dougie Hamilton.
Yep.
Were both
Who's going to be a very good defenseman.
Yeah, we're both thought to be the guys there. So this is a little bit different.
Even though the Jets are very strong on the back end, that's where their strength is. I mean, you know, for next season, the biggest concern for the Jets is up the middle and you know, aside from Blake Wheeler and Evander Kane, who are going to get the goals on the Jets? That's the biggest question mark. It's not on defense. Right now, they've got a good little core there. And even though Tobias Enstrom-Drew might be a guy that they could probably move, he's probably, you know, a guy that they could move to get some scoring help. We don't know if that's going to happen. But their strength right now is on defense.
They either have to trade Tobias Enstrom, and they should trade him this week if they're not going to re-sign him at the end quickly.
Well, we talked about this months ago.
That's right.
Maybe December, January.
We looked at the UFA situation for the Jets and everything else. And
If you're not going to re-sign Enstrom, then you're killing its value right now.
Right.
The Atlanta Thrashers organization would know a lot about not re-signing a guy like Ilya Kovalchuk and having to trade him at the deadline when he's a pending UFA and getting a 10 cents on the dollar for value. So the question is, can you re-sign Tobias Enstrom? If you cannot re-sign Tobias Enstrom, you trade him this summer. And maybe you wait until a couple defensemen have re-upped or, for example, Ryan Suter picks a spot, the team doesn't get him, is going to want a guy like Enstrom. So that's what you have to play. But I would expect Tobias Enstrom within the first 2 weeks of July to either be signed or traded.
And logically
speaking. Because otherwise it doesn't really make much sense. I mean, the longer you drag it on,
the less value he's worth.
And then if you get into a lockout phase where, say, there's a lockout, so September to October, November, then you're really putting yourself in up against the wall. So there's a lot of factors here at play, and I'm interested to see what happens, because Kevin Cheveldayoff in this instance doesn't have a ton of leverage.
20 minutes past 12 o'clock, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. If you want to follow us on Twitter and send us your comments, you can do that at Illegal Curve. Our website is www.illegalcurve.com. There's some great analysis on the website from yesterday's first round and today's second round. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/illegalcurve. You know, we're talking about Jacob Trouba, selected ninth overall by the Winnipeg Jets in yesterday's first round. We'll get to all the Jets draft picks as we go throughout the show today, and the first round in its entirety, and some of the trades and some of the free agent signings. A very busy day in hockey. Worth noting, a programming note for next Saturday and next Sunday, two episodes of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Next Saturday, 9 a.m. till 12 noon, it is our free agency preview show. And then next Sunday, 9 a.m. till 12:30 in the afternoon, live from the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe, it is our free agent frenzy show. So you can pencil that into your calendars. A busy weekend next weekend for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290.
Don't pencil it and use permanent marker.
Permanent marker, even better. There you go. Lots of the consensus on Trouba is, and what I thought one of the greatest lines, and what stood out to me is this is a guy who didn't really enjoy hockey, didn't start playing hockey until he could start hitting people.
Yeah.
So he doesn't come from a hockey pedigree. He played a lot of baseball. His family played a lot of baseball, by all accounts. But, all the commentary, all the comments you hear, a high character kid, big bodied. The issues that they might stand out about him is that he might not have the quickest decision making when he gets the puck in his own zone.
Yeah, that's been a concern that we've read about and the people we've talked to said sometimes there's a little bit of a decision making issue with time and some seasoning and coaching from people at Red Berenson in Michigan and then guys like Charlie Huddy. They're hoped to probably rectify that issue. That's sometimes for the player you can do that. Sometimes you can't teach it. So it's going to be interesting to see. But again, I don't think the risk is high. I think even if he doesn't turn out to be the best decision maker, he turns out to be a National Hockey League defenseman. And I think that that aversion, I think, to that risk is probably going to serve them well in terms of getting NHL bodies on the roster.
Right, and back to the Jets selecting Trouba and whether they should have gone after Teravainen, who Craig Button said could be as good as Ryan Nugent-Hopkins.
Teravainen is another guy who fell down to 18 to Chicago in the first round.
And on that topic, I mean, Jets fans out there shouldn't be that concerned. Like Richie said, it is a safe pick in that he's a very solid defenseman. And Drew, the debate on what his upside is its offensive upside is limited, but the most important key for Jets fans out there should be that this guy is a physical defenseman. He's a big guy. He's going to grow, considering that he's 6'2 and his pedigree is 6'8. He's going to grow, and he's going to be a guy that's going to give them depth in the organization. Like Richie said, there's a chance that Enstrom could move, considering that the future of this team on defense is BOGO, and you shouldn't look at the fact that they didn't draft this guy. Well, you should look at what they have.
It is.
And the fact that he's going to go and he's going to develop in Michigan in a good program, a winner. And, a couple of years from now, then they'll reevaluate and decide if he's ready to play in the NHL.
It is interesting in the sense that, you have Bufflin as a right defenseman, you have Bogosian as a right defenseman, you have Paul Postma as a right defenseman, now you have Trouba as a right defenseman. Now, when Trouba's ready, things will have changed probably by then. A player will be dealt. You could always move Bufflin up to forward. Maybe a player isn't happy with their contract. So there's many factors that go along with it. Right now, they took what they consider to be probably the best player available in the circumstances. Now, best player available doesn't necessarily mean the highest ceiling to them. The best player under their guidelines is probably a player they think has a high character, moves the puck, hits well, will do anything to win, and has less risk. Because almost assuredly, he probably won't turn out to be the best player. But there's going to be a couple guys that they could have taken who will bust, and a couple guys they would have taken who will end up being terrific.
Yeah.
And they probably want to stray away from that.
But the word that you hear is risk averse. You said it.
Yeah.
And it really does seem to fit with everything that this Winnipeg Jets organization does.
Shifley last year was a little bit out of character, and they were obviously didn't have as much time to prepare. This year, when they've had more preparation, as you can see throughout the entire year, waiver claim here, a trade there, but nothing risky, out of nowhere.
If you look at the entire NHL yesterday, especially that first round, almost everybody was risk averse in the sense that, you see a guy like, you see Tara Vinen falling, and you see Forsberg falling. You thought nobody moved up to get either of those guys. Especially if, take a guy like Forsberg, who most people had as a consensus top five player, as he's falling past 10, he ends up at number 11, you thought maybe somebody from the bottom would jump up and get him, but there didn't seem to be any activity whatsoever about that. That jumps out at me as everybody, it just goes to show you how much of a crapshoot and how much of a beauty in the eye of the beholder draft this was, that there was no, besides Yakupov, there really was no consensus beyond that.
I don't think it's even, it is a little bit of that, but I think it's also that this was a weak draft. And I don't, even though Philip Forsberg was, ranked in the top five, and Teravainen was also ranked in the top five, these guys aren't projected to be, let's say, 1A prospects. They're supposed to be good, but this was a defenseman draft, and I think it was risk averse for all teams. And I think the Jets have been risk-averse in their moves, and they had limited time last year, Drew. But you are right. The draft is obviously very difficult to project, especially when this draft had so many defensemen and a real lack of good Canadian forwards. I think this is the lowest a Canadian forward has gone since Chris Beach?
Yeah, I think that's right. I'd read that as well, and he actually ended up being a bust. But, you know, as you look at next year's draft, and I think that's where the change is because the top two picks are already done.
Nathan McKinnon and Seth Jones.
And we saw Seth Jones, Ezra and I saw Seth Jones in playing the under-17s or under-16s here in Winnipeg, and he was by far and away the best player on the ice. It wasn't even close.
Now, Trouba would have played with Seth Jones in the United States National Team Development Program.
We saw Trouba play. Now, I don't remember seeing Trouba specifically. Seth Jones stood out amongst everybody by a country mile, and it's amazing because he's a year younger than Trouba.
Yep.
So that's how good he is. That's the son of former Toronto Raptor, Popeye Jones, for people who don't know. And Nathan McKinnon is, he's playing in the queue, and he's supposed to be the next big Crosby. Yeah. So
because he's also from Atlanta, Canada.
That's right. Yeah. I think they're close to the same city. So, yeah. I mean, that for next year, it's a different story. I mean, you tank next year, you get a huge prospect.
So what you're saying is the Oilers are going to draft first overall yet again?
If you want to draft first next year, what you do is you trade a seventh-round pick for Steve Tambellini. And then he'll just tank your team down to the bottom of the league.
That would be an interesting way. But let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to go down to Pittsburgh. We're going to talk to our Illegal Curve scouting correspondent, Kyle Kozier. He's been at the draft all weekend. We'll touch base with him, get his opinion on the first round. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. 12:30 in the afternoon. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Draft, and more draft. That's all we have in store for you today here on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter, at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He's down in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the draft. He's Illegal Curve scouting correspondent, Kyle Kozier. KK, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Can you guys hear me okay?
We can hear you perfectly fine. When you have to dump out, you said you had an interview that you have to go record. When you need to do that, just let us know and we'll cut you loose.
Sure. Actually, I'm going to just meet up with Cam Ellsworth, who's the assistant coach at UMass Lowell, where Connor Hellebuyck is going.
Perfect.
So I thought I'd just get a couple thoughts on him and pass it along to you guys.
That'll be great. We'll get that on air later on in the program for sure. Let's start with round one yesterday. Let's start with the Winnipeg Jets. Jacob Trouba, he's a guy you've seen play through the United States National Team Development Program. What can you tell our audience about Jacob Trouba?
Well, judging by the Twitter reactions, a lot of Jets fans weren't super happy about it. But really, he's a solid defender with good upside, good size. He's got a big shot. Really, a solid all around kid. You know, and as the Jets have said, they're looking to build from the back end out, and he's going to be a key piece of that puzzle. So I think it's a good pickup for the Jets, and I think they'll be happy down the road here.
Kyle, it's obviously great to hear from you. I can't believe Remus and I aren't with you at the draft. I hope you're having a great time there. Lucas Sutter was drafted 39th overall by the Jets in the second round, and I think he's the 233rd Sutter brother to be drafted into the NHL out of Saskatoon.
Yeah, I think that sounds accurate.
What can you tell us about Lucas Sutter? Because he's the son of Rich Sutter, and we know a little bit about him. He put up some decent numbers in the dub. What else can you tell us about Lucas Sutter?
Well, just as I texted to Richard a little bit earlier today, he's exactly what you think they're getting, which is a Sutter. Like a plug-and-play member of the family there. Going to work hard, finish all his checks. Likes to fight, apparently. Savvy, you do not want to go into the corners with. And I think that's going to I think that'll play well at the MTS Center a little bit down the road here. You know, there is the offensive upside there, but he has all the Sutter attributes that you've grown to love. And I think the grit that he'll bring to the team is going to be very, very valuable down the road here.
Kyle, back to that Trouba selection, people talking about Philip Forsberg falling all the way to 11 the Washington Capitals. Was there any, talk or chatter about why that occurred?
It really depends on who you ask, because that was obviously one of the big questions of the first round, and people saying, maybe it's a bad interview, or somebody didn't like something at the combine, or sort of an internal team issue. But everybody has an opinion, and so I could list half a dozen of them, but I couldn't tell you which one is the right one. But obviously people were a little bit upset with the Jets passing on, but they weren't the only team, so there's got to be some underlying issue there that sort of scared teams off, and obviously the Jets went with a guy that they thought was the best player available there.
One more question, Kyle, because the top 10 always seems to throw a curveball, right? Some team, whether it be the Blake Wheeler pick, or remember Carey Price picked that high by the Habs, surprised people back in his draft year. Hampus Lindholm, pick number 6 by the Ducks, obviously needing defensemen based on the fact that, you know, obviously that Niedermeyer Pronger have left in the past couple of years, and now Justin Schultz is leaving. They trade Lubomir Vrsnovsky. What was the thought process on that, and what was the impression that teams had of that pick?
You know, the I don't want to call it the inside scoop, but sort of the buzz around the rink was that he was just so impressive in the combine, and apparently really did well in the interview, and the Ducks were just really blown away by his poise and just really liked what he added. So they were happy to get him there. You know, some people kind of consider it a reach pick, obviously, but I mean, as I said before, you know, if the guy you want is there, instead of just, you know, drafting by the hockey news or drafting by the local papers, I mean, you gotta get the guy you want, right? Mm-hmm. And if that's who you want, go out and get him. And obviously, the Ducks were impressed with what they saw, and obviously threw people the draft boards and mock drafts off, but they obviously were happy to get him.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by our scouting correspondent, Kyle Kocher. He's down in Pittsburgh at the NHL draft. Kyle, for the big news, obviously, for Pittsburgh fans yesterday was the trade of Jordan Staal. They got Brandon Sutter. They got Carolina's first-round draft pick, number 8 overall, in which they took Derek Pouliot, a guy that was ranked probably towards the maybe the
middle,
18,
middle.
19, 20 slot as opposed to number 8. What did Pittsburgh see in Derek Pouliot that made him their selection?
You know, they really saw, you know, a solid defender. You know, he's from Weyburn, Saskatchewan, so he's kind of a pretty hard-nosed kid, but he has offensive upside as well. You know, he's not super big, I think just a hair under 6 feet, but he can move the puck and he skates well. And I don't know if you recall, but in the last couple of years, he had been ranked fairly high. I saw him, I think, once as high as 2 or 3 on lists that were about a year and a half out. So he fell a little bit, but, you know, Pittsburgh liked what they saw, and again, they grabbed him. So some sort of a good program there as well, so he's, you know, maybe one of those guys they talk about being NHL or close to NHL ready, so that's probably likely also figures into Pittsburgh's decision-making process.
Kyle, you know, a trade that happened late, actually didn't read about it until this morning. Zdeněk Mihajlík getting traded from Pittsburgh back to Phoenix. Didn't seem like they really got too much for him. Were you surprised by that deal, and was there chatter about why that went down?
I really was, actually. It was, again, sort of a late-breaking deal. Sort of just read about it this morning. Talked to Tom Lynn about it, who actually, you know, once obviously traded to Phoenix originally. So he was also surprised by the somewhat lack of a return. But, you know, I guess we don't really know the behind the scenes. But, you know, after the draft's over, hopefully that'll shake out. We'll get a little bit more information. But, yeah, we were both kind of caught off guard there.
Kyle, a trade that was made that obviously involved the Winnipeg Jets was the Jets trading a 7th-round conditional pick next year, which is basically nothing, for Jonas Gustafsson, goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Do you think that means that maybe Chris Mason might not be re-signed and Gustafsson is being brought in as the backup, or why did the Jets make that move?
Well, really, just a couple of scenarios there. One, sort of a backup. One, to be the backup, and two, is a backup scenario if things can't be worked out with Pavlik. But I mean, it just sort of helps from my perspective, it helps the Jets in terms of bargaining power, and that they've got someone coming in. So I mean, it sort of takes away some of the thing if they lose a guy, and maybe they sort of view him as somewhat of a reclamation project too. So you guys, I hate to cut this short, but I'm going to lose the assistant.
Go grab that interview.
If I don't go, but I will. I'm happy to come back on anytime you need me here.
We'll hear from you again in about an hour, around 1:30, Kyle.
Perfect. I'll look forward to it.
Sounds good. Kyle Kocher, Illegal Curve scouting correspondent. He's out to run out and grab an interview. We'll talk to Kyle throughout the program today. Thanks very much, Kyle.
No problem. Talk to you later.
Talk to you soon, KK. You know, I was, you know, as I've mentioned many times here, I was lucky enough to go to the draft last year.
You were?
Remus.
You haven't mentioned
Remus. I didn't know
Paul.
That. Thanks
it's,
for
it's,
the...
It's
did Remus un, go with
it's
you?
Unbelievable. I got to say that it was...
The draft or the hot dog buffet that you guys were told not to eat at anymore?
The hot dog buffet was, it was life-changing.
I heard you made 3 trips last year.
Richie knows this too because he was at the draft in Montreal. There's so much going on at the draft, and I miss it, and I really hope that we're able to go next year. It was announced it'll be in New Jersey. Obviously, you know how much I love the Brick City. But there's so much going on. Kyle's doing an awesome job.
Did you
job.
Just call it the Brick City?
That's what it's known as.
Because there's so much brick?
Newark. Brick City.
Okay, keep going.
Google it.
Go on.
Newark, New Jersey is known as the Brick City.
Go on.
But Kyle's doing an awesome job, and we did so many interviews last year, and he's giving good insight. And we'll talk to him later on, hopefully, about the other mid-round picks that the Jets made.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for that insight.
I didn't say it was insight.
Definitely wasn't insight. That's why I said that. I was being very much sarcastic. Anyways, what kind of jumps out at me, and we'll talk to KK about it next time he's on. Tuvo Teravainen fell all the way down to 18. Another guy who had people spoke highly about. Do you think his size is really what factored in that the NHL is now such a everybody's looking for big bodies?
No, I'll jump in right now. Absolutely not. I think that's completely it's a myth. I mean, the fact is, Drew, it's in hockey, it's tougher if you're a smaller guy.
Right.
It's as simple as that. But if you're talented, you'll find a way to make it. You look at the Gionta brothers. You look at Brian Gionta. He's 5'7". He's had a fantastic career in the NHL. And not only that, he's a physical player. So as far as I'm concerned, maybe a couple of teams. Well, based on his pre-draft ranking, he was ranked in the top five. More than a couple teams passed up on Teravainen. So maybe it dissuaded a couple teams, but if you're a talented hockey player, and especially considering that you're 18 years old, you're still going to play a few more years before you become an everyday NHLer. Let's be honest, the only guy that's probably going to be in the NHL next year, and who knows how much he'll play, is Yakupov. There's a few defensemen, Ryan Murray, right. CeCe, a couple of these guys might play in the NHL next year. But again, this was a weaker draft, and a couple of years ago, we had, Drew, five or six guys that were making an impact in the NHL. But this year, it's not going to be the case. So Teravainen, I think, is going to be a good player. And, again, Craig Button is really high on him and thought he could have gone two or three. But as far as, a guy being small and that's why, teams passed up on him, that's probably not the case.
Well, the odd comments, for example, Bob McKenzie's quick note on TSN today is one of the best skilled forwards in the draft, but physically immature. But of course he's physically immature.
He's 18 years old.
Yeah. I mean, some of these guys who are physically mature doesn't mean that the guys... I mean, I don't necessarily understand that as rationale. You don't pick the guy because he's physically immature at 18, if that's the reason. That's not what Bob's saying. But if that is the reason,
right.
To me, that's an odd reasoning behind it.
You're saying that's short-sighted by a lot of teams.
Yeah, I mean, what is he at 18? So he plays two more years in the Finnish Elite League, or he plays in a year in the AHL, whatever it may be, and he comes over and he's put on some weight. You know how easy it is to put on muscle and weight for these guys? All they do is work out all day.
I mean, it's called creatine.
They change their diet, and they change their diet. They eat a couple protein bars, lift some weights, and they've put on the weight. I mean, and at the same time, how much talent plays a huge factor here. Drew Doughty, he can hardly lift the Stanley Cup, and the guy's the best defenseman in the league. So
you're saying because he's not that strong, but yet
he said he can hardly lift the Stanley Cup. Yeah, I mean, Drew Doughty
doesn't need to.
Drew Doughty's overweight.
He doesn't need to.
Dustin Bufflin, they're overweight, but they're amazing. They're amazing talents. So I think that talent should win out there, and it's interesting that some teams pass up on him. Again, it's hard to say because we haven't seen these guys play, but the people we've talked to and we respect say that he's a very big talent. So for him, his physical maturity to be the reason behind not drafting him seems like an odd justification, if that is the justification.
You see it in a lot of different sports where these guys have these great, combine workouts or, all their, and they're off ice or off-field testing.
Like, who cares?
Well, but a lot of teams draft strictly what they see, in the weight room or, that's what Kyle said about Hampus Lindholm, is that they blew him away. He blew the Ducks away in his off-ice training and everything else.
It's different with off-ice training if it's the combine or if it's the interview. I think the character is a different story than if he can lift that much on a bench press. And as an aside, by the way, Dave Manuk of IllegalCurve.com just texted me and said, it's confirmed. Newark is known as the Brick City.
Oh, okay. Congratulations, Ezzy.
Well, it would be odd to make that up.
I've never heard that. I don't know
but
how
if anybody
you know
was going to make it up. It would be you.
I don't make things up. Why do I make things up?
Well, your Twitter feed is pretty much everything about that is made up.
It's sarcasm. There's a difference. Back onto the topic that TSN's really going to stop showing the chin-up stats for Matt Dumba. I mean,
you've never seen an NHL player do a chin-up on the ice?
Well, think about it. I mean, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, tiny.
Yeah.
He's the best forward.
Hall's a small guy, too, really.
Taylor Hall's he's strong, though. But, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins looks like he's 13. And some of the other guys that have been drafted, they look tiny. Now a guy like Trouba is physically more developed.
Well, I mean, Scheifele is a tall guy, but you can fax him from room to room. He's so skinny. But you're right. He's going to put weight on and put muscle on, and his body, his frame is going to fill out to his height.
Drew, I got to throw something in about the combine, and you mentioned Hampus Lindholm and the Anaheim Ducks and how they liked how he performed in the NHL draft combine, and obviously that played a huge factor. But you know, without being head scout like Marcel Comeau of the Winnipeg Jets, the most important thing is how a guy plays, and when you watch him play. And as far as I'm concerned, once it gets to the draft combine, that should just be it shouldn't matter that much. You shouldn't
make your decisions based on the draft combine.
It shouldn't be a deciding factor.
It should either confirm beliefs or maybe give you some pause. But a guy who you had ranked 20th based on his on-ice performance all year shouldn't shoot up to number 5 because all of a sudden he's able to lift weights and he's dancing the Charleston on a pommel horse or something.
Mario Lemieux, one of the greatest hockey players of all time, I believe did not lift a weight in his entire NHL career.
Yeah. That's true. I mean,
and he was one of the best ever.
You'll take Mario any day of the week and twice on Sunday.
Well, absolutely. Drew, you also never lifted a weight in your life, and you're doing a great job hosting this show.
Thank you. The weight that I carry is the two of you on my back.
Ooh.
Let's go to break. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Ezzy's contribution to the show, bringing in this Beastie Boys CD. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN 1290. This segment is brought to you by David Carr of Monopoly Realty. David takes the stress out of your home buying or home selling experience because he is a professional who will take care of everything from top to bottom. Get in touch with David Carr of Monopoly Realty at 230-6129. David Carr of Monopoly Realty, making your life a lot less stressful. 230-6129. Gentlemen, the Winnipeg Jets obviously had more than just one draft pick. They had six altogether in total, six in the 7 rounds today. They did not have a 4th round pick. They sent that to Washington last year for Eric Fair.
Yep.
Somehow a 4th round pick is worth more than Eric Fair.
As it turns out, that's unfortunate.
It wasn't a bad deal, obviously.
At the time, it wasn't a bad deal. Let's go through the other 5 picks that the Jets made. Lucas Sutter was their 2nd round pick, 39th overall. He's from Saskatoon in the Western Hockey League.
Yes.
Yep.
Is he one of the Sutter kids?
He is the son of Rich Sutter. Probably one of the lesser known of the Sutters, would you say?
They're all known.
They're all known?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, I'm going to change my name to Sutter and pretend I'm one of the Sutter kids also.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would work well. Lucas Sutter went 39th overall to the Jets from Saskatoon. At number 70 overall, Scott Kosmachuk from the Guelph Storm of the Ontario Hockey League, a right winger.
Yep.
Has a lot of talent. Probably needs to put on a little more size, but you can say that for everybody in this draft. So
yep.
We'll see what he's like 3 years down the road from now. That's not when you'd first expect him to make an impact. Number 130, the first of 2 goaltenders drafted by the Winnipeg Jets, Connor Hellebuck from the North American Hockey League.
Great name.
The Odessa team in the North American Hockey League.
And Kyle's interviewing his soon-to-be coach at UMass Lowell in the NCAA.
That's right. So he's going to UMass Lowell of the NCAA. So Kyle is getting that audio. You'll hear from his head coach coming up in the program. In the Jets, in the 6th round, number 160 overall, they went back to Saskatoon. Ryan Olson from the Saskatoon Blades of the Western Hockey League, he was their pick in the 6th round, 160 overall.
Yep.
We're going to be speaking to Lauren Malkin. He is the head coach and the general manager of the Saskatoon Blades coming up next segment.
Mm-hmm.
Jets took 2 players from Saskatoon. Who better to give us some insight into them than Lauren Malkin of the Saskatoon Blades? That's coming up next segment.
We can also tell Lauren about how we'll be driving to Saskatoon on a road trip very soon.
I'm sure he'll care.
To go see the Jets exhibition game.
Are we actually?
Yeah.
Oh no, sorry. We didn't invite Drew to that road trip.
Drew, yeah,
you didn't.
Dave and Ezra going. Yeah, Dave's coming. Taking a horse and a carriage.
Yeah,
it's a good idea.
Rusty is the horse's name.
There was actually a horse and carriage accident on Highway 6 last night.
Was that when you were like from 1940?
No, I swear. Last night on Highway Number 6, there was a horse and carriage accident.
Is this 1940?
Like a car hit a horse and carriage on the Highway 6 last night.
Was the horse like in the right lane?
I'm not 100% sure.
Was he in the passing lane?
I don't know.
Was it a pony?
Number 190 overall, the second goaltender that the Winnipeg Jets took, Jamie Phillips from the Toronto Junior Canadiens of the Ontario Junior Hockey League. The Jets have made, I think it's 11 draft picks in the last 2 years.
Yep, three goalies.
They had 7 last year.
Okay,
they?
So did they have 7 last year? Okay, yep. So 13 draft picks. Pardon me.
They took Jason Kasdorf.
Yeah, 7 last year.
Jason Kasdorf, who played for
six this
RPI
year,
this year,
and 7 last year, so 13.
They've taken 3 goaltenders of those 13 draft picks.
Yeah.
So they're obviously looking for.
And interesting to note, all of the players they've drafted North American.
That is very interesting to note. All of them North American.
Yeah.
I don't believe there's been one player from the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League either.
I can tell you that right now.
I don't think so either, actually.
Yeah, this year
right
it's...
it wasn't last year.
This year it's USHL, WHL, OHL, NAHL, WHL, OJHL.
Yeah.
And then last year, Shifley was an OHL guy. Ewan's WHL. Serville's...
Lowry WHL.
Yeah, Lowry's WHL. Serville's headed to, I think, Michigan it was. So that's 4 guys. Kasdorf's headed to NCAA. That's 5. Halstead, we saw play.
Austin Brassard,
and
OHL.
Halstead is NCAA also. So yes,
Richie, you know, we've obviously followed a lot of the drafts, and you'll see goalies, especially guys, the lesser knowns, they're taken in the 5th, 6th, and 7th round, and there's absolutely no problems with that. And sometimes you end up getting a guy that 3 or 4 years down the road, turns out to be a decent prospect. Edward Pasquale is a guy that came from the Toronto Ontario Junior Hockey League, if I'm not mistaken, as well. Right now he's the number one goalie in St. John's of the AHL. So, I have no problem with stockpiling goalies. It's not a bad problem to have. If you look at teams that have had, goalies to trade, if it's the Nashville Predators, there's no reason to take a flyer on a guy in the 6th round and, hopefully he turns out in a couple years.
Yeah, I mean, they're going by players, I think, of the most upside, I assume. But a goalies are risky to take just because they're so hard to project. That's been documented. But
yeah,
you take
so
them later
you want to take them in the later rounds?
Yeah, you take them in the later rounds if you're going to take them.
That's right. And it's you're right. And when you're talking about 5th, 6th, 7th round picks, it's really much, you're just almost throwing darts.
Very much so. I mean, this is when you get to lists where one team's 5th round pick is another team's undrafted player.
That's right.
So I mean, you're talking discrepancies of 30, 40 spots here, a minimum, even higher sometimes.
You know, right. Richie, one of my favorite, I watched the draft, which seemed like it was 14 hours last night.
And about 10 minutes this morning.
The first round.
The first round took 4 hours.
Second round probably
took
2. The
second round took 22 minutes.
Well, I love how...
30 picks
Steve
in 22
Tambellini,
minutes.
Steve Tambellini just bothers me more than anybody, but... The Oilers...
You really hate Steve Tambellini.
Well, he's just so condescending. He's like, we're so proud to select. It's like, yeah, so proud to be last or second last 3 years in a row. You've done just a tremendous job, Steve. You're so proud. Then they have the documentary just talks about the Oilers all the time, running the team into the ground.
Nobody watched that documentary.
Anyhow, but this is the thing. You know, Bettman comes up there. Says his speech. They got to get rid of the hospitality garbage. That's enough already.
Well,
you got to get rid of thanking the LA Kings. That's garbage, too. We know the Kings won the cup. No one cares. It's over.
Interesting note on that front. Brian Burke, Leafs general manager, at the last general manager's meeting, puts forward a proposal to scrap all of the preamble before the pick.
To thank Pittsburgh for our great hospitality. Thanks to our fans at the draft party.
Fans
are everywhere.
I'd like to thank Lupe for turning down my bed and leaving me a mint.
Shout out to Tavern Transcona for getting a shout out from Chevy last night.
That's what I'm saying. Everybody does that, so they do it. But you have to get rid of that. There's no need for that.
That's why it takes
Anyways,
4 hours.
So Bettman gets up there and says, okay, Edmonton, you're picking. And then Steve Tambellini is sitting there with a grin on his face, talking to Daryl Cates. Go up and make the pick.
Is this the 3rd year in a row Daryl Cates' son has come up to make the pick?
His fro was amazing yesterday.
It's the best.
It's a great fro. But... back to the fact that they're drafting players, they know who they're going to take. They've had, when was the lottery? A month and a half, whatever it was away. They know they've had every offer possible. They're not going to get an offer 2 minutes before and saying, oh, here, we're changing our offer. Go up, Steve, and make the pick. What are you sitting there for?
You know, on the topic of the draft, I'm pretty sure Brian Burke said that he doesn't like his players to wear hats.
Yes, he said
because
that.
it covers their face.
For the pictures, yeah. I actually don't have that big problem with that.
But okay. I mean, I thought it was a little bit odd. He could have at least given him a chance, but it's like a tradition to put the jersey and the ball cap on.
Yeah.
It seemed a little bit odd. Like,
I mean, you still can't have, hair on the Yankees, is he? So.
Yeah.
That's true. Well, are you surprised that Brian Burke is focusing on something involving the Toronto Maple Leafs that has really negligible impact? You know, he's got his eye on the ball when he's focused on the hat that his draft pick is wearing.
You know, we're tough on Brian Burke, and we had Patrick Burke on, obviously, of the You Can Play Project, which is a great initiative. And, you know, we give Brian Burke a hard time. And the fact is, you know, in Winnipeg, it's custom to give, you know, Toronto a hard time and vice versa.
There's
but,
nothing wrong with the Morgan Riley pick.
No, the Morgan Riley pick was good, but, you know... He comes out and he says that they liked Morgan Riley, and you know you have to respect that. And for the Toronto Maple Leafs, the fact is that it, you know, they're weak at every position. And to identify a guy that you like, and, you know, kudos to Chevy as well for saying that he wants a big, tough defenseman. You know, he has his reasons. Zinger, Chevy, Marcel Como, these guys have the reasons for liking a pick. And if you have identified a guy, he's there, take him, then fine. And sure, if it turns out that Teravainen is a good hockey player, then sure, then maybe they made a mistake.
Interesting stat by Rick, our friend Rick Ralph. Draft by nation for this year's 2012 NHL draft. Not entry draft, draft. 99 Canadians, 56 Americans, 22 Swedes, 11 Russians, 9 Finns, 6 Czech Republic, 2 Denmark, 2 Latvia, 1 Belarus, 1 German, 1 Swiss, and 1 British guy?
UK? Yeah, 1 UK guy.
Little surprised to see no one from Azerbaijan.
What surprises me is how few Czech Republic players got taken.
Even, like, there's not... I mean, Sweden second, but the only 11 Russians, only 9 Finns, 6 Czechs. I mean...
Richie, the gap is closing...
wasn't even a good year for Canadians.
The gap is closing between the Canadians and Americans. A lot more Americans proportionately are being taken, and it's because of the USHL. NCAA is very good.
I wish you with that.
You know what? You take the best player, who cares where he's from. You know, that's what it boils down to. I mean, you have to look at the talent that that he's playing against to some extent. But if David, you think he's going to be the guy, he's going to be the guy.
David Manuk from AlleleCurve.com telling me that there was a stage delay at the beginning of the draft. I didn't hear that. So
you're saying that's what took Steve Tambellini too long?
Apparently.
Was it the Occupy movement?
I don't know if I buy that.
The Occupy movement came into the console.
Others were probably just filming their documentary.
Yeah.
And no one will watch.
Yeah. Let's go to break. When we come back, the general manager and head coach of the Saskatoon Blades, Lauren Mullican, is going to join us. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Top of the hour, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in studio by Richard Pollock and Ezra Ginsberg. This segment of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show is brought to you by the Cheer Bar and Grill. Pardon me, the Cheer Bar and Grill, located in the heart of Osborne Village at Stradbrook and Osborne. Go check out the Cheer with their great new renovations, a great patio, one of the best patios in Osborne Village, if not the entire city of Winnipeg. It's a beautiful day out there today. Go kick back. Make sure you have your radio with you. Turn the radio on to TSN 1290. Have a few bevvies and sit down and relax at the Cheer Bar and Grill located in the heart of Osborne Village.
Yep, get some nachos, pick up a cold Rolling Rock. Love that Rolling Rock beer. Great name for a beer, too. Just rolls off the tongue. Rolling Rock.
Okay, thank you for that. Anyways, you can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com, where we have all of the coverage of the 2012 NHL draft. There are some great original articles, some analysis from live on the draft floor in Pittsburgh, and audio of some interviews that we've been collecting.
Between David and Kyle and Tom's contribution, been killing it. The Illegal Curve's been killing it at
That's
the draft.
Right. And so if you missed out on anything to do with the draft, be sure to check out www.illegalcurve.com. A quick programming note for next weekend, Saturday, special start time, 9 a.m. here on
TSN. I'll pick you up, Drew. I'll be up at probably 6, so I'll pick you up for that one.
Ezzy today. See you at the pre-show meeting at 10:30. Drew and I are there at 10:30 as he shows up, 11:20.
Yeah.
It's known as fashionably late in the business.
What business is that?
My business.
Okay, exactly. So, yeah, Ezzy, you do not need to pick me up next Saturday. Don't worry about that.
I'll take a horse and carriage, maybe.
You should do that. Anyways, program, 9 a.m. next Saturday, the NHL Free Agency Preview Show. Next Saturday, 9 a.m. Sunday, special live on location, so you get the opportunity to come out and see how the sausage is made live and in person at the Winnipeg Free Press.
How does that mean?
You never heard the expression? You get to see how the sausage
is
made?
Well, Drew, we were born, you know, in the 80s. So.
Anyways, the live on location, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe.
And they make sausage there?
No, that's not what I was saying. They come down, check out the show. You can see us live on location.
I mean, that would be cool if they did.
Canada Day. Celebrate Canada Day and the start of NHL free agency with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show at the Winnipeg Free Press Cafe.
You see live on location. Though. People come, you know, engage, questions. We'll be trying to report this stuff live. We'll have the screens up. We like for, you know, people who are listening to come down, make it an interactive affair.
Exactly.
Richie, you know, there's been
Twitter will be available, so you can tweet us your thoughts. It'll be an exciting day. Saturday, Sunday, 9 a.m. start times on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
And there's going to be a lot going on here. We have some big guys that are going to move. We have Ryan Suter, Zach Parise. I mean, Rick Nash is still available. Roberto Luongo is still available. You know, and it's going to be lots of fun. Last year, obviously, was the first year when they signed Andrew Ladd, and the Jets have a lot of decisions to make as well. So definitely come down, and we'll try to break down every single move that happens that day.
Let's talk about a move that happened last night. It happened early on in the night, and it seemed all but inevitable once he turned down the 10-year contract extension offer. That's Jordan Staal getting traded from the Pittsburgh Penguins to the Carolina Hurricanes in exchange for the Hurricanes' 8th overall selection in the first round, and Brandon Sutter and a goaltender, I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
Not a goaltender?
No, it was Ryan DeMuehlin.
Yeah. Pardon me, DeMuehlin. He's a defenseman. Yep. Let's talk about that trade first of all. You know, is that one of those trades where both teams are a winner?
I think that, Drew, depends on what the Penguins do with that money. And obviously they have the Mihailik money now, and they traded Zdeněk Mihailik last night. But that's the old adage, whoever gets the best player wins. I think in this instance, it actually is the case. I mean, you get Pouliot, he could end up Derek Pouliot. He could end up being a really good player. And
Derek Pouliot is who Pittsburgh drafted with that pick acquired
the 8th overall
from the Carolina
and
Hurricanes.
And Brandon Sutter's a really good two-way player, a little bit limited offensively. The best player in the draft is Jordan Staal, who's at minimum a second-line center, maybe could turn into a first-line center. And they were talking about whether they're going to play Jordan Staal and Eric Staal as both centers or play Eric on the wing of Jordan's line. Whatever it may be, based on the fact that you think they're going to resign Jordan, I think that Carolina made out very well here.
Yeah, I
agree.
And
I think Pittsburgh now, depending on what they do, could be a Crosby injury away. You know, Brandon Sutter can play second-line center, don't get me wrong.
Yep.
But there's a Crosby injury away from being a team that might lack a bit of an identity, depending on what they do in free agency. I like the trade more for Carolina than I do for Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh didn't do poorly.
Right.
Are you surprised that Pittsburgh did as well as they did, given that it was obvious that Jordan Staal was only interested in going to Carolina?
Yes, I do. And I know Richie's really high on Brandon Sutter. He's a good center. He's a physical guy. He's got some hands. And Jets fans saw him a lot this year, three times playing for the Hurricanes. And, you know, obviously it was clear that, you know, the Penguins have to spend money on Crosby. And like Richie mentioned, they got some money by trading Mihailik back. But, you know, it was clear that he did want to go to Carolina and play for Eric Staal, his brother. And, you know, I know Jets fans would have loved to get him. I really like Jordan Staal. I really enjoy his brand of hockey. He's one of the best two-way centers. And when he's not in the Pens lineup, they suffer. And he's the type of guy that, you know, came into the league and got the shorthanded goals. And, you know, on a team like the Jets, he could probably compete for the first-line center job. But they did probably do pretty well. But you're basically, you know, they got Olli Maatta too in the first round and Derek Pouliot. So the Pens did pretty well. Carolina's getting the better player, and Carolina wins here. And you know, obviously Jim Rutherford knew that he had a really good chance at getting Jordan Staal, and he was, you know, trading from a position of strength. Mm-hmm. When you know that Jordan Staal wants to come and play with his brother and have the opportunity to, and the Carolina Hurricanes have got some good players there with Jeff Skinner, and they're a team that, you know, one or two moves away, they could be a really strong team in the East
for
next year.
For sure.
That's not necessarily good for the Jets,
and
by the way.
They didn't really change. They didn't trade any of their young defensemen who moved the puck well, Falk and those guys.
Yep.
So, I think you really do have some upside there. Cam Ward between the pipes, Jeff Skinner, Eric Staal, Jordan Staal. That's a nice mix there. Good job by Jimmy Rutherford. And, I mean, Brandon Sutter's going to be a good player, but Jordan Staal's better. I know you have that defenseman. You could have drafted a guy like Pouliot, whatever it may be, but they have a lot of puck-moving young defensemen on their squad and right-handed shooting guys and guys that I think did Pouliot shoot left? I think Pouliot might shoot left. But in any event, it was a trade I think Carolina couldn't pass up. And I think Pittsburgh did all right. But I think, you know, you're moving the best player in the deal, and you're not replacing him with the player of his skill level. So if Pouliot doesn't turn out, which is always a risk in defensemen, then it's a tough move, I think. And you know, the rumors were before that Staal was mad that the rejection of the contract got out, and the rumor was that Ray Shiro was mad. So somebody else leaked it. And to be traded on your wedding night is kind of odd, but I'm sure he was happy to be going to a place where not only his brother plays, but also where he can have an expanded role. And he's
sick exactly.
and tired of playing third
right.
line center.
Yep.
You're sick of it, and you know that's going to be interesting to see what he does with an expanded role, ability to play a lot more on the power play. He wasn't playing much in the power play, probably still kill some penalties and things like that. But his role is going to change, and with that expanded role, you have to think that Carolina's going to see a nice payoff.
Richie, you nailed it. On any other team, Jordan Staal is not a third-line center.
No.
Pittsburgh Penguins are not an average team. And you're right. That is huge. And the ability to have those guys on your team, you know, long into the future. I mean, you know, Jordan Staal's 24 years old, I believe. And Eric Staal's 27. I mean, these guys are in the prime. You know, I thought the Hurricanes were going to be better last year, and Jeff Skinner took a step back, and things didn't work out. You know, Cam Ward didn't have the best year, even though he was pretty good, as usual. I think he's still one of the best goalies in the league. You know, going forward, Drew, Jordan Staal, Eric Staal, Jeff Skinner, these guys are in the primes of their careers. Jeff Skinner is 20 years old. He might not have even hit his prime yet.
Well, and you mentioned that right off the top of the show there, Richie, is that, or maybe this was even off air, my times are blending together. It is a good thing for the Jets to get out of that Southeast division.
After this year, because, you know,
the Lightning have gotten stronger. It's not good.
They're going to get better. Washington still has a lot of talent. You have Carolina now building up a squad. It's going to be tough for them to make the playoffs next year.
What about the Capitals picking up Mike Ribeiro? That was a very good move.
And we'll get to that later throughout the show.
But I think what happens is the Jets going to improve it all and make any moves? And if they're not, well, Carolina just got better. If you say Pittsburgh got worse, they didn't get bad enough that the Jets are going to be better than them.
Are the Jets the bottom team in the Southeast right now?
It's a fair question.
I think I don't think there's any doubt about it. You look at the talent on all the rosters.
Well, I mean, you can't say Florida and Tampa are that much better than them right now.
Florida overachieved big time last year.
Carolina is a team that struggled last year but has more talent than the Jets. Better in net, better top-end talent up front. Not as good, maybe, as talented on the back end there. But and then Washington, overall, straight talent, sure. And I think that we'll talk about the Ribeiro deal and what it means going forward. But
they also got Philip Forsberg.
I know. I mean, it's
as you said to me when we were in our pre-show meeting, where Ezzie was nowhere to be found, is that Forsberg and Backstrom together look like a nice combination. You know, Nicholas Backstrom and Philip Forsberg, both Swedish guys.
Forsberg's not playing in the NHL next year, but...
He's not far away.
The thing about the Scandinavian guys, if they're playing the Swedish Elite League or the Finnish Elite League...
They've been playing with men.
Exactly. So it's not as much of an adjustment for them sometimes. Back to, you know, where the Jets stand in that division, the summer will have to unfold and we'll see what comes of it before we can make a final judgment or our projections for the 2012-2013 season, if there is a season. But with the move with Staal, just the Staal move, looking at that...
Changes the dynamic of that division big time.
It sure does. Exactly right, Ezzie. And you can't be happy if you're a Jets fan that happened for next year. You can't.
Jordan and Drew, Jordan Staal is that good. He was a huge, huge part of the 2009 Stanley Cup.
Especially, as just for a second, back to the Jets, like, they don't care about Pouliot.
No.
Because he's going to be developing on... Pittsburgh. But Carolina gets... Like, Pouliot wouldn't have never... What I'm trying to say is Pouliot never would have played for Carolina next year, likely.
Right.
So the Jets don't care about that. The fact is, they basically replaced Brandon Sutter, good player, with Jordan Staal.
A better player.
So there's an upgrade. And then by the time a guy like Pouliot maybe would have played, they'll be out of the Jets division anyways. So that hurts the Jets.
That's why I'm saying, if you look at what everybody's done in this offseason so far, Tampa Bay improved their goaltending almost by default. Anders Lindback cannot be as bad as Tampa's goaltending was last year.
Agreed.
Carolina is better. They got Jordan Staal.
Yes.
Washington's better.
Well...
Washington's better.
Yeah,
Washington's better. When you subtract not very much from your active roster,
yes, fair.
And you solidify your goaltending position with Braden Holtby, you know he's going to be your goaltender. Washington's better than they were at the end of the season last year.
Apparently, Bob McKenzie just tweeted.
I got it. I've responded to him already. Bob McKenzie just tweeted for that the Jets will resume negotiations with Andre Pavlik at this point in time, but. Bob says that there's still a KHL offer on the table. This is contrary to what we've heard from Dmitry Chesnokov, who spoke to the general manager of the St. Petersburg team in the KHL, who said that there was never an offer to Andre Pavlik. As often happens, the truth lies somewhere in between.
No disrespect to Dmitry Chesnokov, but Bob McKenzie is one of the most well-respected guys in the business. I would tend to believe what he has to say over anybody else.
Fair enough, but we'll see if we can get any more information on that front, of course, because that's the big thing that Jets are focusing on is the negotiation with Andre Pavlik.
Jets fans right now are just worried about bringing the same team back from last year.
Yep. And, you know, to the point about the Southeast Division, too, just to finish that off, Florida, too, has some of the best young prospects in the NHL. So you know, if they haven't gotten better, they haven't gotten any worse. So right. if the Winnipeg Jets, and, you know, it is tough to find a Zach Parise or Ryan Suter who aren't coming to Winnipeg, unfortunately. Sorry, sure. Jets fans. Unless the Jets get more top six scoring, they're not going to be able to compete and make the playoffs. And that's why
100% agree.
That's why Jets fans should temper their expectations and realize that all these guys have to slowly develop, and the team might be 2 years away from competing seriously for a playoff spot.
You look at this team right now, and you look at this team right now, and a lot can happen in free agency and trades, but on whatever day it is today, June 23rd, I don't see how this team isn't a bottom five team in the NHL right now.
Well, I was just looking at the Eastern Conference. The NHL? Yeah, I mean, well, you can make that argument.
Just food for thought, and we'll obviously deal with that as we go along, but just some food for thought. There's a lot of room.
If you do a quick scan of the East, Rangers, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, and Philly are all better than them. I don't think anybody's going to argue with any of those. They've proven that's the case. The Islanders, well, you can certainly argue the Jets are better than the Islanders. And you get to the next division, Buffalo should be better. Boston is better. Ottawa, tough to argue the Jets are better than Ottawa. And then Toronto, Montreal. I think Montreal is a prime bounce-back candidate. Toronto, it depends on what they do in goal there. So I don't know about bottom five in the entire NHL, Drew, but bottom 10, I think, is certainly the case.
It'll be
that's where they were around this year.
A lot of room for the Jets to improve. Let's go to break. When we come back, we're going to try and hook up with Lauren Malkin of the Saskatoon Blades. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/Illegal Curve. And our website is www.illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
Let's welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. He is the head coach and general manager of the Saskatoon Blades. Lauren Malkin, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the program.
Yeah, not a problem.
Lauren, obviously we wanted to talk to you about the two draft picks that the Winnipeg Jets made. They selected two Saskatoon Blades, first taking Lucas Sutter, 39th overall, and then taking Ryan Olsen, number 160 overall. Let's start with Lucas Sutter. He is obviously from the Sutter clan, so he's got the name value there. You know, what was his greatest asset that he brought to the table for the Saskatoon Blades last year?
Well, first and foremost, he's a young guy that is very committed to be the best he can be, and he's a typical Sutter. They play for keeps, and Lucas is involved into a player in Saskatoon that is very difficult to play against. He's a fierce competitor, and on most nights he plays against the other team's best players. And this year he put up some good numbers offensively. And we feel that he still has plenty of room to grow.
Lauren, from what people we've talked to, they say that Sutter's advanced in terms of his defensive awareness and penalty-killing ability. Can you talk about maybe the maturity of a guy his age and being able to handle those responsibilities?
Well, you know what? He obviously comes from a hockey background, he was probably the most improved player on our hockey club last year. As a 17-year-old, he struggled as far as the different aspects, but certainly this year he came in, he played in all situations for us and was a guy that we really counted on. And, he takes a lot of pride in the little things. He works extremely hard at it. And when I talk about little things, it's, face-offs, board battles, puck battles in tight areas. So he's a player that I feel has a chance to be a guy that can contribute at the NHL level.
Lauren, when you talk about a player drafted in the second round, not every player has flaws. Some in the second round have some more significant flaws. Would you say his skating is a flaw, or do you think it's better than people think?
Well, I think that we all maybe questioned that as a 16 and a 17-year-old, but he's worked real hard at that skill, and his skating never hampered him at all last year. He shows steady improvement in that area, and like we talked about earlier, he finds a way to get things done. He's a fierce competitor.
We're joined on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show by Lauren Malkin. He is the head coach and general manager of the Saskatoon Blades. The Winnipeg Jets drafted two members from the Blades in the just-completed NHL draft. Lucas Sutter went to the Winnipeg Jets, 39th overall. Ryan Olsen went to the Jets, 160th overall.
Lauren, Ryan Olsen's obviously a goaltender who played for Saskatoon. Centerman who played for Saskatoon. What can you tell us about him, and what's the plan for him next year?
Well, we actually traded Ryan at our Bantam draft this year, and he was a first-round Bantam pick of ours and certainly played extremely well as a 16-year-old for us last year. He struggled in the first half of the year, but really improved his play in the second half. And as you're aware, we host the Memorial Cup this year in Saskatoon, and we decided that at the Bantam draft we were going to make a couple trades, bringing in some older, some experienced players that have all participated in the Memorial Cup. And Ryan was the one guy that teams targeted, and we didn't want to give up that young asset, but as we move forward, we knew we had to get older, we needed more experience, and unfortunately Ryan was the guy that we moved. But you know what I basically said to all teams is he's a big center iceman that skates extremely well, sees the ice extremely well, and not to give up on him because he has a chance to be a real good player.
Lauren, 8 defensemen went out of the top 10 picks. Were you that surprised that many defensemen went?
No, not at all. I think that this year was a special year in the Western Hockey League as far as defensemen go. When there is a defenseman that can be a blue chip guy, I think the teams will step up and move on it very quickly.
Lauren, one final question for you. You had another player go. That's Dalton Thrower. He went to the Montreal Canadiens, I believe in the second round, number 20. I lost my information here, but apologies. Dalton Thrower, what can you tell Montreal Canadiens fans about him?
Well, you know what? He's a player that, if they watch the Vancouver Canucks at all, he kind of reminds me of BX. He's a competitor. He plays with that edge, and certainly he took a real positive step after Christmas this year as far as, adding to the offensive part of the game. And, he was paired with first-round pick Duncan Siemens of the Colorado Avalanche and did an extremely good job for us. So, he's a ways away yet, but like all of these guys, now the work really starts for them.
Lauren Malkin, head coach and general manager of the Saskatoon Blades, thanks very much for joining us this afternoon on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Take care, Lauren. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye.
Jets obviously stayed close to home in taking those two players. They, that would be a team where Chevy and Zinger both would have had the opportunity to see both of those guys play. So they obviously liked what they saw from both Lucas Sutter and from Ryan Olsen.
You can never go wrong with taking a Sutter, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, it's nice that they, they switched from the Barry Colts of the OHL and decided maybe Saskatoon's the new Barry, right? But, again, it's the Sutter family is obviously one of the greatest hockey families, and he mentioned that his skating might not be as bad as some people say it's going to be. So Lucas Sutter is another guy the Jets fans are going to be watching, seeing how he develops.
We have 5 minutes or so before we have to go to our next break. We briefly spoke about it earlier, but not in much detail. Jonas Gustafsson became property of the Winnipeg Jets earlier today. The Jets sent a conditional 7th-round pick to the Toronto Maple Leafs for the rights to negotiate a contract with Gustafsson. That'll take place, between today and, say, next Sunday.
Next Sunday. So
because
all that means
he's an unrestricted free agent come July 1st.
All it means is if they sign him before Sunday at noon, noon Eastern time, then what will happen is they'll give up the 7th-round pick. If they don't sign him, they don't give anything up.
That's right. And a 7th-round pick is the equivalent of nothing.
7th-round pick is essentially like signing a drafted free agent. They end up turning out to be about the same based on the stats, close to it. So, it's not like you're giving up much value here. In terms of Jonas Gustafsson, a guy who is 28 years old, going to be 28 years old. He's 27 right now. He's an 84 birthday. He came over nicknamed the Monster, and a big signing from Toronto. They thrust him into a role that probably was too much for him to handle too quickly. He had some of those hard issues as well. Yeah. The biggest thing people say is that goaltending coach Allaire in Toronto tried to change his game. And people are hoping, Jets fans, I guess, are hoping that if they do sign him, that a change of scenery to maybe working with a guy like Wade Flaherty will make him a better goaltender. He's big. He's got some skills, but you know, nobody else traded for him here, so it's not like anybody else. It's not like, you know, based on his performance thus far, nothing special, but does have some skills. Will cost very little to re-sign if the Jets do re-sign him. And I think what this means also is they're bidding adieu to Chris Mason. By what you could hear from the conversations, and you read into Claude Noel, didn't have as much confidence in Chris Mason as maybe people thought. So I would assume that even if they can't re-sign Gustafsson, that Mason's on his way out. So I would count Mason out for the Jets. I think Gustafsson would be a nice compliment because he's a younger guy. He can probably handle a little bit more of a workload than Mason. Yep. And granted, he's not going to be a calming influence in the room, maybe as Mason was. But in any event, I think it's a small risk. A seventh-round pick is negligible in terms of value. So I have no issue with it.
Right.
And they can see if they can turn him into something. And you know, don't hold your breath. But he could. I mean, there's a chance. There's certainly a chance he could turn into a solid netminder. There's also a chance he busts. And that's why you get him for nothing, basically.
Right.
Pretty good. It's pretty cut and dry analysis right there, but that's pretty accurate. Anyways, let's go to break. When we come back, we'll have much more about the NHL draft, some signings, some trades, lots more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on TSN 1290.